Today's scripture reading is Psalm 36, verse 7, which can be found on page 398 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 36, verse 7. How priceless is your unfailing love, both high and low among men. Find refuge in the shadow of your wings.
I'm very pleased to introduce Cindy Filson, who has been invited by Faith Presbyterian Women to deliver this sermon this morning. Cindy completed the commissioned lay pastor program through Pittsburgh Theological Seminary and serves in the role of pulpit supply for Shenango Presbytery. Cindy's husband, Chuck, joins us in worship today. They have a daughter, Michaela, who is currently attending Grove City College. Cindy, welcome to Faith Church again.
Much. Good morning. It is such a great pleasure to worship with you. I am so glad for the opportunity and the invitation. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice and are so very, very glad in it. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but since you know me pretty well, I'm going to confess. And sometimes I start to look for something, and then I forget what it is that I was looking for in the first place. And I find myself in all sorts of strange places wondering, what was it that I was after here? In 1931, Tennessee Williams published a story which brings this concept to us in a very poignant way. He wrote the story about two young lovers. There was Jason, a Russian man, very introspective and studious. And there was his childhood sweetheart, Lila, an adventuresome woman with a beautiful voice. And they married young, and they moved into an apartment over the bookstore that the young man was taking over after his father died. And he loved that life. He loved to be involved in the books and the customers, and that quiet lifestyle suited him so very well. But Lila found that that was not the life for her. And when the opportunity came for her to travel Europe singing in a vaudeville show, she decided to go. And just before she left, her husband handed her the key to the apartment. And he said, "Your love, I know, is not so much less than mine. I know that you'll come back, and I'll be here. I will be here waiting all along." And Lila left. And he retreated into his books and into his study, and spent the next 15 years hardly moving from the desk in the bookstore. And after 15 years, Lila came back, carrying the key. And she went to her husband, and he didn't recognize her. He got up from the desk where he had spent most of the hours of those 15 years, and he said, as he would to any other customer, "May I help you find a book?" She said, "Well, I'm here because of a very special story. It's a story of two young lovers," and she told of their early love. And she could see that he did not remember. He had forgotten. And so she said their names. And he still, with a rather distant look in his eyes, said, It sounds familiar. I think it's something by Tolstoy." And she was devastated. He had forgotten. In his pain that he had felt at her leaving, in his seeking to escape and to survive, he had completely forgotten what he had been looking for in the first place. And he was not there any longer for her. This story brings to mind how easy it is to miss love when it comes. Brothers and sisters, there is a great and gracious love for each and every one of us that God has now and forever. May we never miss a moment of realizing and living in response to the great love of God, our Heavenly Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Will you please pray with me? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. For the second time in a very short period of time, there was a gentleman who was late for a very important appointment because he could not find his car keys. And so he kept running through the house, accusing his wife and children and shouting at them at the top of his lungs, "Where did you put them? I saw it. You must have been playing with them. Did you move them? I know I put my keys here, but where are they now? You had to have done something with them." And as he raced through the house, he decided to start a tour yet again. And so he went back to the bedroom, and he scanned the dresser and the nightstands, and in frustration because they weren't there, put his hands into his pocket, and there were his keys. He had been frantically and in great frustration running around wildly looking for something that he already possessed. I can relate. Have you ever spent time frantically and frustratingly rushing around in a futile attempt to find something that you already had? God's love is there for us all the time. It's there for us to possess. All we have to do is claim it. And we have the key to claiming it. It's right here in Psalm 36:7. It's in his precious, steadfast love for each and every one of us. I love this beautiful passage that has been read for us and that we shared together responsibly in a litany. But it begins in a different way, that Psalm 36. It begins in a way that I can also relate to because I'm a sinner. And there are times where I don't claim that love, that key to that relationship that is mine. Please listen as I read the beginning verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 36. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in their hearts. There is no fear of God before their eyes, for they flatter themselves in their own eyes that their iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of their mouths are mischief and deceit. They have ceased to act wisely and to do good. They plot mischief while on their beds. They are set on a way that is not good. They do not reject evil. That's what leads up to this verse about the great and loving God who loves us even then, even when I rebel in my humanness, my sinfulness. God's steadfast love is there for me to claim. Even when I am, like the philosophers would have said in ancient times, that I was the measure of all. I am the master of my fate. How delusional, how futile is that? When I want to let myself believe that I'm in control, I'm in charge, I'm in the one who should be making all the decisions and carrying on according to my plan. Notice what a selfish group of verses that is. It's all about the one who's trying to take charge when we're not in charge. But look at that shift. Look at that shift where we began to read in verse 5. There's this great and gracious love that extends to the heavens, a faithfulness to the clouds. It's amazing love for you and for me. It is a wonderful love that God has. And the language of this reminds us of God's promises from the very beginning. This passage about, we take refuge in the shadow of your wings. It takes us back to the covenant relationship that God established with the Israelites when they'd reached Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. He said, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." What a lovely children's message about a hen gathering chicks. I read recently of a fire on a farm in which the farmer, after surveying what was left, noticed that there was the body of a hen. But that hen, who had died, had protected under her wings small chicks who were still alive, amazingly. Our God loves us so much that Jesus came willingly to sacrifice his life by drawing us close and making the ultimate sacrifice for us so that we may have life and have it abundantly because of that great love. This passage, which talks about God's love, that is loyal love, that is complete love, that is reliable love, is the kind of love that reminds us of Psalm 23, where there is a great table prepared for us in the very presence of our enemies, and there is a cup that overflows with love. That love is so abundant for us to claim. That's the language of this, that we feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Notice the switch from the rebel who's all about him or herself to once we claim God and realize all is his and we are his. In his great and loyal and complete love, we are loved with a kind of love that is not just a one-way street. This is a love that is a two-way street. It's hard to wrap my brain around, but I think that the closest I can think of is if you think of a relationship of two people who are in love, that they come to stand before God and declare that with their marriage vows. Imagine the groom declaring his love till death us do part. Wonderful, beautiful commitment, but it's not over there. Because when the groom says that, the bride also says that. She declares her love in the same way, to the same degree. That's what makes that love complete. The love that God has for us, he has given to us. And it's made complete as we return that love and we live in response to that love. As we reach out to him in thankfulness, in gratitude for the love that he has for us. And we rejoice in that love. But the love that he has given us and created us to have, we give back to him. And we have the capacity, brothers and sisters, to reach out in his love to others. today on Thank Offering Sunday and always. It's an opportunity for us to share that great and gracious love by reaching out to others in His name. When we remember the key. The psalm ends then with verses that say, "Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, your salvation to the upright of heart. Do not let the foot of the arrogant tread on me, or the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie prostrate. They are thrust down, unable to rise. But in His love, all have that opportunity to claim it, and all live with this hope that is given through Him." There's a very old Scottish legend about a shepherd boy who one day was on a mountainside, and he came upon a cave. But this cave was rather strange because there was a door that was barring the entrance to the cave. And so he could not see what was inside the cave, but it made him curious. As he looked around, he noticed in front of the door to that cave a beautiful flower on the ground, the most beautiful flower he had ever seen. And he bent down to inspect this beautiful flower. And then he plucked it so that he could pick it up and look at it even more closely. But as he picked it up, the door to the cave opened miraculously. And there inside he found riches, gold and diamonds and jewelry and all sorts of precious gems and stones were there. And he went inside and was amazed. He started to pick up things. And he heard a voice that said, "Don't forget the best." So he kept looking around, thinking there was more, and so he picked up more. And yet again, as he was almost ready to leave with his hand full of treasure, the voice said, "Don't forget the best." He thought that that must mean that there was still something even better than what he had. And so he kept looking around more and more and more and searching. And then he dropped the flower as he grabbed another handful. And he left. And as he walked out, the cave closed up behind him. And he heard the voice again. And it said, "You forgot the best. That beautiful flower was the key to the vault." Brothers and sisters, we have the key to all the treasure that we'll ever need, the best treasure. And that key is God's precious and steadfast love for each one of us. And through that precious and steadfast love, we return it to God. We live in response, and we love Him because of His great and gracious love for us. And we reach out, and we love others in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.